Well, this morning, friends, this is that message that comes every January, usually within the first week or two, where I face it with both excitement and a little bit of ugh. I face it with excitement because we've got great news to share. Like, we've got some really cool things to look back at from the previous year. We've got some really exciting things to look to the future. Like, so we've got some cool stuff to look at and to talk about. But here's what else I know. I just know it. In a crowd this size over two services, there is absolutely no question that there is someone here, probably several, a bunch maybe, for the very first time. And that's the part where I go, oh, no. Please have mercy and come back next Sunday. Because a bit of what we're going to talk about today is family business. It's stuff that we just have to talk about in order to try to assure that we're all on the same page, going the same direction, and as a church family, we know what's up. It's vision casting for the future. It's rejoicing for the past, and there's a part of this that very definitely requires just the going over of some numbers. And it's just, you're Glenn, what?
God's in the details.
He is in the details. Thank you for that. Would you like to come finish this message for me? You know, I'm never going to tell you in church to lie, but this morning, if you could just lie and look really happy and engaged, I would be thrilled. I would be thrilled. Amen. Me too. I'm excited about it. So anyway, I figure if I make it sound really bad and then it's not that bad, it won't be that bad. So here we go. All right. So here's kind of what's been going on. You know, over the last 2 years in particular, just because of what's been happening in society, we've taken a very strong, unapologetic, but not mean-spirited stand for truth. If you just go back over the last couple years, think through the different sermon series and stuff we've done, we've gone after some issues and we have spoken the truth, and I've said repeatedly that it's not just about speaking truth, but it's about speaking truth in love, right? We've wore that phrase out, which we continue to say that. It's not just about standing for truth and being mean-spirited, because then you're just a Pharisee. But it is about standing for truth and then with compassion and brokenheartedness inside of you, you love people. You love people, regardless of where they are or what they've done or any of that. Like, that's what we're called to, truth and love. So last couple years, we've emphasized that. We've talked a lot about truth. Now, next Sunday, going to start a brand new teaching series on the love of God, on the love of God. And that might sound very elementary to you, but I never get tired of hearing about the matchless love of God. So next week, if you'll come back, visitors or family members for that matter, if you'll come back, we're going to jump into this series about the love of God, and it's going to be a blessing to all of us for sure. Right before I went on a little break before the holidays started, I did a single one-off message that we entitled Occupy. And this was in the month of November some point, and if you missed that message, please go online, gracechapel.net, and you can watch it. We unpack this whole teaching. I'm going to talk just a wee bit about it this morning, but it's really, really important. What I did in that message was just try to boil down, kind of to strip everything off, get down to brass tacks, whatever analogy you want to use, to just say, like, why do we do what we do? What are we about? What is the church called to? And so we unpacked that message called Occupy. It came from this passage, Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 13, Jesus is speaking to the people, and it says, "Now as the people heard these things, Jesus spoke another parable." In other words, a natural story infused with spiritual truth and reality. Jesus spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they, the people, thought that the kingdom of God would appear, look at this, immediately. "Therefore, Jesus said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, 'Do business till I come.'" Your King James version of your Bible is going to say, "Occupy until I come." Now, again, watch the message. You will get through all the, you know, the intricacies of that. But the point is this. This is a group of people who thinks the kingdom of God is going to come at any second, immediately. And I do love that about them. They were anticipating the kingdom of God from heaven coming and invading earth. How awesome. We all need to be that way. We need to be waiting and watching, looking up, because our redemption draws nigh. We need to imitate them on that. But Jesus, discerning and understanding that that's where their mindset was, that like this was going to happen any second, that he's got to then tell them something really important. He says, "Guys, now, I love the fact that you're anticipating the kingdom of God, but I got to tell you a story." And then this story ends with these words: "Do business, occupy until I come." In other words, friends, we need to have our heart in heaven for sure, but our hand has to be in the harvest. It means we've got to be busy. We've got to be working. We can't just be sitting back, staring up into heaven going, "Well, Jesus is going to come back anytime now." We've been waiting for 2,000 years. I'm not saying he's not coming back, but I am saying we have to watch and wait for sure. But while we're watching and waiting, let's make sure we're making a difference here on earth. Let's make sure that we're not just going, "Ah, Jesus is coming back. Who cares about our country? Who cares who we elect? Who cares about our laws? Oh, Jesus is coming back. Who cares what we do next? We don't need a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan, or we don't need anything. Let's just sit and wait for Jesus to come back." Well, when we adopt that type of mentality, it is ungospel. It is unbiblical, because Jesus said to those who are waiting for the kingdom, "Be busy until I come back. Be about the business. Make a difference." This is an interesting Greek word. It's about buying and selling and trading and increasing and expanding and taking new territory. Jesus said, "Make sure in your midst of waiting and wanting my return that you're doing business." And so that's what we're talking about. Doing business, occupying, taking new territory, doing the next thing that Jesus told us to do. We've mentioned several times already today that this past Monday we've called the entire church to a 21-day fast, and I talked about that last Sunday, what that looked like. And on day one of the fast, I thought it was important that first, of course, we deal with ourselves before we start, you know, worrying about everybody else. Like, "God, what do I need to get right?" And that first day one, first topic was this: "God, we're coming before you, and we're asking you, God, we're praying and fasting and repenting. God, would you work out of us this whole issue of making excuses?" Because, friends, one of the things that keeps us from really doing business and making a difference in people's lives and being fully engaged is our excuse life. And so we see this, again, another parable, Jesus addressing this. See, if I said it's excuse making, it's like, well, maybe, maybe not. But Jesus very clearly says excuse making is a problem with his people. So check this out. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. Again, another parable. "And he said, a certain man gave a great supper, and he invited many people. And he set his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, everything's now ready.' But they all with one accord," what? "Began to make excuses." Could you imagine? The nobleman, the rich man, it's the king. It's King Jesus. It's the parable, the meaning here. It's Jesus inviting people in to this extravagant feast of intimacy and love and relationship. saying, hey, everything's ready, y'all. Come on in. The doors are wide open. And people then start making excuses. And the first guy says, as the story goes on, hey, I bought a piece of land. I have to go look at it. Well, either this guy's really rich or really stupid. Have you ever bought a piece of land you never looked at? The next guy goes, hey, I bought a yoke of oxen, five yoke of oxen. I've got to go test them and see how they are. Well, how many yoke of oxen do you buy without testing them first? The third guy goes, hey, I got married. I can't make it. And I go, well, there's a bro. That works. Okay, that's the only excuse that works right there. But the point is simply this, friends. Jesus said any kind of business, whether it's relational or professional, any kind of business that you're doing, that you're elevating over my Father's business, over kingdom business, must get reprioritized. Because he has provided a spread. He's invited us in. And far too many are going, oh, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got this excuse. I got this excuse and everything. And you can just see it based on the rest of the story. The king, Jesus, is just going, what's the deal? What's the deal? I've invited you in. I'm going to give you everything you need to make a difference. I'm going to give you gifts and power so that you can do eternal things while you're waiting for me to return. Stop making excuses. And so we pray and fast on the first day, God, deliver us from excuse making and help us really get serious about being about your business. Something else that keeps us from occupying and doing the master's business, friends, is distractions. And again, not because I say so, but because Jesus did. He addressed this very issue in, again, another parable. This is the parable of the sower, where the sower goes out and sows the seed, which is the word of God. And we don't even have to interpret what this parable does, because Jesus took his disciples aside privately and told them exactly what every jot and tittle of this parable meant. And so they ask the questions, well, what about the seed or the word that fell among the thorns? And Jesus answered and said, now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones, or the people, who hear the word of God. Okay, so they hear the word, but look at this. The cares or the desires or the distractions of this world and the deceitfulness, the deception of riches and the desires or the lusts, it actually is, for other things, enters into people and it chokes the word. It just chokes the word that they've heard right out of them. And then the word in them becomes what? Unfruitful. Doesn't really make a difference, Stacy, in their life at all. Why? Because they're distracted with the treasures and the trappings of this world. The lust for materialism and stuff and things. The deceitfulness of riches comes in and beguiles people and convinces them this is the only thing that really matters, the accumulation of wealth and riches. And so then I give my attention and my passion and my drive for that. And all along, Jesus is saying this. I want you to be about my Father's business first and foremost. Make that your priority. Stop making excuses and don't be distracted. Because when you make excuses, you miss out. And when you give yourself to distractions, the word becomes unfruitful. And so too many followers of Jesus come in the doors of the church every week, week in, and then they leave week out. Because really what's going on in here is stuff and things and the rewards and the accolades and the treasures of the world. Grace Chapel, we are never going to successfully occupy and do business if we ever lose our current mindset that says, let's put the kingdom of God first. We're never going to fulfill our next mission. We're never going to fulfill our destiny if we somehow start to sit back and say, we've arrived, we don't need to do anything else. God's already done way more than we ever thought. Let's just put it on cruise control and look up and wait for heaven to come down. Heaven won't come down. Heaven won't come down. The decay of our own stench will rise up because we'll die a slow death. Jesus said, I want you to occupy, do business. No excuses, no distractions. I'm convinced, friends, if you want another Bible verse for this, I'm convinced that we have to value hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. We have to value hearing that more than receiving the riches of this world. We have to start valuing eternal things, the kingdom of God. We have to start valuing that time when we enter into the presence of God and he says to us, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. We have to start looking at that moment that we don't bring all of this distraction and really it is disgust with us in there and just have him say, yeah, you're in, but by the skin of your teeth, you never really occupied, you weren't really fruitful, you didn't really make a difference at all. We have to value well done, good and faithful servant, and then let our lives live accordingly. So, by the grace of God, for over 21 years, I wouldn't say perfectly by any stretch, but I would say the majority of time, the beloved people of Grace Chapel have lived with a mindset that says, God, whatever it is you're calling us to do next, we're in. That's what's got us to the point that we're at. Now, just on a personal level, friends, because we're getting ready to transition into some of this stuff, it's really important for me to say to you that when I set out at 25 years of age at the invitation, like I didn't even pursue being a pastor. I was asked to be a pastor. That should show something, right? Sarah never had a desire to pastor a large church, big campus, write books, be on TV. I never went to anybody personally or read any fancy books about, hey, how can I do that? Hey, how do you grow a big church? Hey, how do you get on TV? Hey, how do you write books? Hey, how do you do all this? Because that's what I want. Never once Jesus hearing me talk. That's never been my motive in ministry. My motive in ministry has always been, Jesus, please give me the grace to do the next thing you're asking me to do. That's it. And for a long time now, I and we and the team that God's provided us here, we have just said yes and amen to the next thing he's told us to do, I think with pure motives, I hope, and then just done them and watched God do what he's done. And for that, we're grateful. Now, one more kind of precursor to all this. As we get ready to start talking about some numbers over the next little bit, this isn't, and I need your help with this. Glenn, you were really helpful earlier. You helped lead the way. This isn't, would y'all say the word isn't with a little bit of, like you just stepped on a piece of glass or something. Isn't. Yeah. I want you to do it one more time and really mean it this time. That doesn't, no, that was no good. You just stepped on a piece of glass and instead of saying something else, you chose to say, good. This isn't about numbers, noses, nickels. This isn't about that. This is about people. People. Individual persons, groups of people. Everything we're talking about is about people. And it is about us doing our mission, which is to equip people to be passionate servants of Jesus Christ. This is about people and not numbers, but understand numbers represent people. Okay. Every 3 months, Pastor Jay does kind of a housekeeping kind of through the registry, the membership, whatever we call it. I'm not involved in it. For the last 3 months of the year, there were 5,600 individual people who were in some kind of regular participation at Grace Chapel. 5,600 people is the most recent kind of purged number. Kids ministry, birth through fifth grade, it continues to grow. Give or take some weeks, give or take a lot. But on average, there's 600 kids on this campus every single Sunday, from brand new babies who are born through fifth grade. The junior and senior high students, because of Pastor Jake's leadership and Ian and David, because of the great job they do with the junior high and senior high, they just told me on Thursday that the night before, Wednesday night, was the largest group that they either of them had, junior high or senior high. Junior high has been having almost 100 kids on Wednesday night, just junior high, on a Wednesday night, 100 junior high kids. Somebody pray for Ian. Yeah. High school, Wednesday night, I think last week they had 90 kids, something like that, on Wednesday night. We send a bus to Fairview just to bring these kids in so that they can get here and we can reach them with the gospel of Jesus. Our STEPS classes, Pastor Myron told me just this week, our STEPS classes are our adult membership classes. Right now, currently, our current class is the highest participation, the biggest number we've ever had since we started doing it 12, 15 years ago, whatever it was. Right now, highest participation, biggest numbers. The women's and the men's ministry, great numbers. I don't even know. There are hundreds of men and women involved in the women's and men's ministries that meet at different times all throughout the week, digging deep into the Word of God, praying for one another, encouraging one another, loving one another, bearing one another's burdens. Men's and women's ministries going great. Life groups. We've got over 100 life groups that are going on that meet in people's homes, places of business, in restaurants. There's over 100 life groups that are currently going. Again, people praying, studying the Word, encouraging one another, loving one another, like being the church. Well, here's what I have to say. This is part of our battle cry when we do our new membership class. We just had one a Sunday or two ago. As the church continues to get bigger, friends, hear me, please. We simultaneously have to do what?
Get smaller,
right. What that means is you can't just come in with thousands of people and expect to get connected and plugged in without making an effort. You have to find a life group. You have to find a men's ministry or women's ministry. You have to find somewhere to serve. You got to find some people to connect with. Because, yes, over the years, I've run into people who say, yeah, Steve, I used to go to your church. I used to go to Grace Chapel, but I never felt connected. And then I always know the answer to this. And so I say very kindly, very pastoral, very lovingly, lots of wisdom and patience. So you don't feel connected. Well, were you in a life group? Well, no. Okay, where did you serve? Well, I didn't serve anywhere. Okay, were you in men's ministry or women's ministry? Well, no. And I go, do you know what the deal is? What? You didn't feel connected because you weren't. It's like I'm the smartest guy in the world all of a sudden. Friends, can I just tell you? If you're not connected, you're not connected. You're just not gonna be. And being disconnected is the result of making excuses and being distracted. So get connected. Get connected. Don't buy into the lie that, you know, oh, I'm lost in this sea of people that are here. Listen, there are so many opportunities for you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, to be an equipped, passionate servant of Jesus Christ. There are so many wonderful people in small groups, so many anointed teachers that will bring you the truth to help you in your pursuit of Jesus. Don't miss the opportunities. Get connected. Missions. Let me talk about missions a little bit. And I can't talk about everything in all these places, but we do stuff in Israel and Haiti, India, South Sudan for years, and lots of dollars have gone to these places. I want to highlight just a couple things here real quick this morning. First of all, Mexico. In the city of Culiacan, Mexico, which is in the state of Sinaloa. The name Sinaloa might mean something to you because of the Sinaloa cartel. It is the most powerful and wicked drug cartel in the world, and we just helped plant a church in the city of Culiacan in Sinaloa, Mexico. Now, yeah, amen. I'm not sure whose fancy car that is in the front. Might be one of the dealers that just got born again. I'm not sure. But we were able to secure this beautiful building and buy all this, the sound and the just everything to make it happen. Pastor Ugo, listen, they haven't even officially started yet. They've had 100 people plus show up on Sunday mornings, and they haven't even officially started. So that's because what? We're occupying. We're making a difference. We want to see people's lives touched all over the place. Yes, even in dangerous places. So something happened fresh, brand new Mexico, super exciting. Going to tell you, of course, about the Dominican Republic because of great things that are continuing to happen down there. Of course, with Josiah's house, that ministry continues now for, I don't know how long it's been, 4 or 5 years, going pretty strong. This is taking little boys off the streets who have seen every single foul, immoral, sexual thing done by any host of people, including their own family members. I'm talking about broken little boys, bringing them into Josiah's house, having them be now raised by a healthy, strong, loving Christian couple. This isn't just, you know, institutionalized kind of orphanage. This is 8 little boys with a married mom and dad who are Christians who pour Jesus into them and watch their lives get restored in the name of Jesus and by the power of God's Spirit. Bob and Diane Spencer have done an incredible job down there, and there's a whole host of boys. Now, let me tell you what else is very interesting. Just this last week, on Tuesday, the second day of our fast, we got a phone call from some friends down in the DR. And I don't know what's going to happen with this, so don't hold me to this, but I did think it was interesting that we got this call this week. They've got a piece of property that's an acre, they guess, walled, 5,000 square feet of building, dormitory space. I don't know how much it's worth, $500,000, $750,000. They called on Tuesday and said, we'll give this to you. We will give this property to you if you'll use it as a home to reach little girls like you're reaching little boys. So we're really excited about what's happening in the Dominican Republic as that continues to expand. Many of you know that I've been working very hard for quite some time now about persecuted Christian refugees in the Middle East. I don't talk about it all the time, but you need to know that I work on it all the time. We got another phone call this Tuesday, which I thought Tuesday, what a great day. We got great opportunities from the DR and now this. Actually, it started off with a text message that I got from some of our friends in Washington, D.C. And as much as I would love to tell you all the detail, I can't at this point, but I want to say this, that King Abdullah of Jordan was in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday. You know, our 600 refugee friends are in Amman, Jordan. They're in his country. Ambassador Wells, the U.S. ambassador to Jordan, was in Washington, D.C. this week. And I know for an absolute fact that King Abdullah and Ambassador Wells know full well about our project and our mission. And there's some really exciting things happening. I got that call on Tuesday, that text on Tuesday, had a phone conversation yesterday, again, with our friends in D.C., and there are some very, very, very exciting things happening that even last Friday, 9 days ago, we didn't have such a great phone call, but on the second day of our fast, all of a sudden something changed and the king came to our country and we were able to talk to him and get his blessing to do some amazing things. That's the work of God, friends. When a little country church in Leaper's Fork, Tennessee can be known by the King of Jordan and cooperate with him, God's up to something. And God's people said, yeah. Amen. Grace Christian Academy. Discipling the next generation. Grace Christian Academy, 6 years old, that's all. This year we've got 525 full-time students. They're here Monday through Friday using every single room in this entire, on this entire campus. Jam-packed, overflowing, using every bit we can. Pre-K through 12th grade. This year we are graduating our first class. We started with sixth graders, every year added a grade. Now we're up to our first class of 12th graders. They'll be graduating in May. Next year, Robbie Mason, our fantastic headmaster, has assured us that we will be well over 600 students here every single day. Now, friends, when I say this, I don't want you just to hear school. I want you to hear me say, discipling the next generation for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is what's happening. Robbie Mason, Tim Fish, Reggie Garner, Mark Bright, and all of the staff are doing an unbelievable job. The reputation that Grace Christian Academy has out in the community is mind-boggling. The favor of God has rested upon us, and fantastic things are happening. We're super, super excited about that. I'm going to talk to you more about that in a minute. All right, finances. This is all really good news. It's just, it is what it is. So let me get through it. In 2015, $7.15 million worth of tithes and offerings came in. That was a 7% increase from the previous year, which then catapulted us to our next year. Grace Chapel has finished 21 years of history. We're in our 22nd year right now. And now for the 21st consecutive year, we've had the best year we've ever had in the existence of the church. And I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about participation. I'm talking about people in classes who are growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. So 2015, $7.15 million in tithes and offerings, a 7% increase from the previous year. Missions, support ministries, and benevolence. This is a fantastic number. Grace Chapel's leadership gave away $1.4 million last year. Now, if you do the math on that real quick, that's 20%. 20% of our gross budget, we gave it away. Yes, go ahead. I'm absolutely convinced that's one of the reasons God has blessed us so much is because we're not hoarding, we're giving. And, you know, there's plenty of churches that would make it a goal to get to 10%. By the grace of God and sacrifice, we've done 20%. Administration costs. This number might surprise you until I tell you what really happens out in the world. 30% of Grace Chapel's budget goes to administration costs. 30%? Oh my gosh, that sounds like so much. I can tell you for a fact there are large churches in this town, in this state, and in this country where administrative costs alone are 50 to 60% of the entire church budget. We do half of what the average church does, and we give twice what the average church does. Grace Chapel, good on you. You've done a fantastic job. Debt. Somehow, somewhere, Dave Ramsey just started trembling. I love Dave. Prior to the purchase of the property next door, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute, prior to the purchase, our existing debt, the totality of our debt in this place was $4.3 million. Now, $4.3 million is a whole lot of money to me. You need to know that. I wish I didn't, but I wear it. It weighs on me. Well, Pastor Steve, just go ahead, cast your burden on the Lord because he cares for you. Well, I have cast it on him. I've also seemed to take it back on a regular basis. I don't say any of these numbers lightly. But with $4.3 million in debt, we have been tripling our monthly payments. And over the last 3 or 4 years, we've paid down $3 or $4 million worth of debt by tripling our monthly payments. We have debt. It is profoundly manageable debt, and we're whacking away at it very, very quickly. Okay, let me talk to you about this purchase next door. In August of 2015, we closed on 107 acres and a 15,000 square foot house. It adjoins the church property right here on South Hall Road. If you look at that graphic right there, you can see that which is outlined in the white is the current church property. It's about 67 acres or so. And then that which is outlined in the red is the new acquisition. It's 107 acres. So we're pushing 173 acre campus in its totality. There's a half mile of road frontage. Grace Chapel, what we've been able to do is secure the future growth, not just of Grace Chapel, but Grace Christian Academy as well. We are well set for our future. Now, because of how this unfolded, we went about it a bit different this time, and it was okay, and the board thought it was fine and all that. We paid $5.629 million for that piece of property, and we got a screaming deal on it. So, I thought you said we're already $4 million in debt, and now that's 5.6, and that's like, isn't that $10 million worth of debt? Yep. Yep, it is. It really is. But not for long. Not for long. I think probably for a couple months, actually, maybe 3 months. Let me tell you what's going to happen. I need to give you a bit of history. When we built this first building that we're all sitting in 2003, we didn't anticipate it filled up and overflowed immediately. By 2005 and 2006, we were making plans for our first expansion, which is all down there, and we didn't want to go into debt. By the way, when we moved into this building and the money we owed on it, it would have been the equivalent of us going and being $25 million worth of debt today. Just keep that in mind when I say 10, like it's like 10. I can sleep tonight. We built this over here, and we had a ridiculous, God-inspired idea. And that was that we could raise in a single offering $2 million to pay for it. We'd never done it before. We had no history. Greg and Darla, you're shaking your heads. You remember what happened. It was your first Sunday. Don't ever come on that Sunday. And you've been back ever since, last 10 years. So we didn't have any history about doing it, and we announced to the people, and we didn't have a thermometer. We didn't hire anybody to tell us how to do it. God bless the people that do that. I'm not putting anybody down. It's not just for us. I wasn't out in the parking lot looking and seeing who drove Mercedes-Benz and writing your names down and inviting you over to my house for a special night of entertainment and dinner. I didn't do any of that. We just taught the Bible. We made the need known, and we called for a sacrificial offering. I'll never forget it. There's people lined up down the aisles. And right down here in front, we had on a pedestal, an orange crate, Sarah? It was just an old, wore-out wooden orange crate. And family after family and person after person came. Some people got down and cried and prayed and put their offering in. It was remarkable. We told everybody, come back in 3 hours and we'll see what happened. They put the numbers up on the screen. but instead of going left to right, they went right to left. And so they put up two numbers and then a decimal point, so I knew at least we had raised 56 cents. I mean, and then they went a number at a time, a number at a time, and with each number, with each, you know, digit, it was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Well, we got to the point where it said $850,000+. And it was like, oh my gosh, the place was coming unglued. The next thing that showed up was a comma. I knew there had to be another number. And if it was only a one, it was 1.8 million. That's close enough to two. That's a huge win. This isn't a three-year pledge card. This is like in the bank. A two went up on the board. A two. In a single offering with a church half our size, maybe less than that, $2.8 million in one offering. We got that paid for over there. Time passed. We've overflowed with people, more people. In August of 2012, we finished the next edition, phase three. It actually doubled the size of the building space that we had. We went from 50 to 100,000 square feet. We had some history with God being generous, and so we went to the people and said, hey, here's what we're gonna do. And so on Good Friday of 2011, we told everybody, hey, we're gonna trust God, we're gonna do this deal, we're gonna try to raise $5 million in a single offering. And it was the first and only time where Grace Chapel, where we didn't hit or exceed what we did, and it was awful because we only raised $3.8 million in a single offering. It was just very distressing. And so God has blessed us big time. So when it came time to purchase the property next door for $5.6 million, the bank was like, you don't even need a down payment. You don't need anything. Like, they want to loan us the money, of course. So we closed on the property, and now here's what we're going to do. It's been 5 years since we've done a sacrificial offering, 5 years. March 25th, it's about 10 weeks from now, March 25th of this year is Good Friday, the most sacrificial day in human history. So on Good Friday, for the first time in 5 years, we're gonna take a sacrificial offering to raise a bunch of cash, to secure our future, to occupy until he comes, to take new territory, to expand, to do everything that is the next thing that I feel and the board of elders feel and the financial board feels that we're to do. We'll see what's our goal. I'm not even putting it out there this time. Listen, $10 million would be fantastic. If we got that piece of property paid for, that would be really, really great. If we raised $5 million, that would be great. So here's what I'm telling you. I'm committing to not twist, manipulate, pressure, no phone calls, no dinners, no thermometers, no slick marketing campaigns, just teaching the Bible, trusting Jesus, and giving sacrificially. I'm sure we're gonna see the goodness of God show up on Good Friday service, March 25th of this year. Anybody wanna see what he's gonna do with me? Good. Since we're talking about making an ask, I just want to do one more quick thing. I'm going to make one more ask, and that's for volunteers. With all of the fruit, with all of the activity, with all the stuff going on, I'm not even going to talk about kids, so you can be at rest. Although we'll take you if you insist. But I want you to consider this. Would you consider being an usher? Would you consider being a greeter? Would you consider being a parking lot worker? Would you be someone who finds their expression and their involvement in occupying in one of the most important, just nuts and bolts ministries that we have? We need ushers, we need greeters, we need parking lot attendants, we need people that drive the golf carts and pick people up in their cars and greet them with a smile, and we need people that work in the information booths. Listen, we'll equip you to do all of it. Will you not make an excuse? Will you not be distracted? And will you come and occupy with us? Will you be a productive part of the family? That's what we long for, so that we can finish our next mission. All right, think about that. You can sign up in the back. Pastor Jay will be there on your way out. Everybody down in the chapel, you can come up and sign up. You can send Jay an email, jay@gracechapel.net. Everybody online who's missing, you can do the same. All right, we've got one more thing to do, and this is very exciting. Jake and Amy, come on up. Could you make Jake and Amy Spencer feel welcome this morning? So, for the last 17 years, about half your life, you've been stuck here about half your life. For the last 17 years, Jake Spencer has been here at this church. He came in as a teenager. He progressed to a volunteer youth leader. He progressed to a part-time employee. He progressed to a full-time youth pastor, and then the department head for all of the rest of the youth pastors. He's filled in for me on Sundays multiple times for several years. The greatest thing about Jake Spencer to me is his personal, faithful friendship to me and a whole bunch of other people in this church family. One of the greatest things about Jake Spencer is that he's a faithful brother. He is a dear friend. He is an authentic man of God. That's who Jake Spencer is. Now, I guess we're going on 13 years of marriage. You've already had 13. It'll be 14 in May. 14 years. I do have underwear older than that, though. 14 years ago. Or at least some socks. 14 years ago, Jake and Amy got married, and we had the pleasure of knowing Amy as well. And when I say that Amy Spencer is a mini Sarah, it's the greatest compliment I could give. And I've said that about you to your face, and I've said that to you about you privately. And Jake and Amy are obviously very dear to us, true sons and daughters in the faith. They're beautiful family. It's time for Jake and Amy to fly. Yes. It's time for them to spread their wings. Now listen to me, it's not time for them to leave, and it's not time for them to go. That's way too final. It's time for them to spread their wings and fly and go to plant Grace Chapel, Knoxville. Now, the Hawkins family right here in the front row, Alex and Crystal, I've known Crystal since she was a wee little girl, are going with them. Rob and Sarah Richmond, oh, they're right here. Was looking for you over here, are going with them as well to help plant Grace Chapel Knoxville. They all sold their homes like immediately. It was amazing the hand of God on this, the favor that's on them to do this. And so this morning, friends, we're going to ask all of us to pray, but some of our elders and pastors who are here, we're gonna invite you up to pray. Now, I wanna do something different this time, if it would be okay. Alex and Crystal, if you would come up as well, and Robin. Rob and Sarah, come on up as well, please. And just, if you all, just because it would make it easier, if you just kind of kneel down right here, Rob and Sarah, if you'll come on this side. Guys, I want everybody in the chapel to participate, so come this way because you'll get cut off of the camera. Rob and Sarah, come on up here. Jimmy, let them squeeze by you. Here, right in here. Please, thank you. Okay. Now, church family, this is the next generation. Don, come on. Can y'all make Pastor Don Finto feel welcome as well? Come on, Don. So these are the fantastic 30-something-year-olds who are going to occupy and expand and take new territory for Jesus in a place that's desperate for what they have inside of them. Now, friends, let's pray together. Stretch your hand this way, if you would. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray this over Jake and Amy, but we pray it over the rest as well. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray a hunger for your presence in their hearts like never before. We pray a hunger, O God, for prayer and for fasting, a hunger, O God, for your word, to study it themselves for their own spiritual enlightenment and enrichment first, not just to get sermons or to give it away, but for their own need, for their own desperation. God, a hunger for your word. A desperation, God, for the Holy Spirit to fill them afresh and anew every single day, over and over and over again, even as Paul said, to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. God, we pray for Jake, wisdom to lead. Wisdom to lead. God, we pray that you would give him sensitivity to hear your voice. We pray, oh God, that you would give him faith and courage to obey it, even if it seems ridiculous. Even if it seems crazy, oh God, give Jake sensitivity to hear and faith and courage to obey. Father, give them a provision of a meeting place and space. God, give them the provision of like-minded team members. Lord, thank you for the team they've already got. We pray that you would increase it in Jesus' name. Father, we pray favor, anointing, passion, perseverance, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, every gift of the Holy Spirit over their life. God, we pray for every good and perfect gift from heaven to be theirs. God, would you use them? Do you use them eternally, powerfully, mightily, Lord God, to touch people's lives? God, I thank you for every student at UT that's going to come to know these precious, powerful people, how their lives are going to be changed, how their lives are going to be saved and restored, oh God. Father, we don't want to limit it to any demographic or anything. We just say, with me, church, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. Father, may your kingdom come in them and through them for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit them into your hands, to your faithfulness and your power in Jesus' name. And Grace Chapel's happiest people said, amen, 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 amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, friends, there you go. It's a lot to take in. Wait a minute. The wife is bearing gifts from afar.
Wait a minute. Okay, can I have your mic?
I'll stand close by.
Okay. Jake and Amy, this is just a special something to hang on your wall from the Elder Board, the Financial Board, and the Women's Board. So be blessed. You don't have to open it right now. You can open it now.
All right, there you go. Next Sunday, thank you for bearing long with me this morning. Next Sunday, we're going to start a new series on the love of God. You don't want to miss it, I promise. Oh, God, one more quick thing, really quick. I was reminded this morning of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. 9 of them were so thrilled they got healed, they just left and never came back. And it says that one of them, after what Jesus had done, came back and fell down at his feet and began to worship and adore him. And so, friends, I want to close today by saying, Jesus, we're the one. We're here today to come back and say thank you for everything you've done over the last 21 plus years. Thank you for our future. Thank you that it's filled with hope and peace. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for everything you're going to do. Lord, help us occupy faithfully until you come. We're looking, we're watching, we're waiting, but we're working in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody. Amen. God bless you and keep you. We'll see you very, very, very soon.